You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jose Guadalupe Garza. Jose, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Jose, you're in St. Louis now, so I feel like I should just ask you because, you know, every one of these interviews, it's kind of at this critical point in history, it seems. It's January 27th, 2021, still in the pandemic. How are things going? I guess just structurally, we're going to get into your studio, but how's St. Louis?
That's difficult to answer, especially since most of us are sheltering in place or socially isolating in order to remain safe or as safe as possible from the virus. So every day feels really strange, like as I experience time or as I experience maybe even like social life in which, you know, you're being connected digitally or through screens. So I don't know. I think when I imagine anything remotely like this, just from reading science fiction, et cetera, I thought I'd be a little bit more equipped to adapt. But right. I'm doing the best that I can, considering the situation.
And what are you working on now? I want to talk about like a number of pieces, Polaroids, the drawings, but what's happening right now in your studio? What are you working on?
Oh, so I'm kind of working with those materials in that format recently. I think with the pandemic, I do have a studio space that I occupy, but it feels like everything's been kind of turned inward, you know, conceptually, materials-wise. So just how it feels like, even though we're socially isolating or sheltering in place, however we want to frame it, it feels like things are kind of You think that, you know, being connected digitally would open up a lot of spaces, and it does, but I feel like things kind of have kind of closed off a little bit. So it's given me a chance to kind of think more inwardly about my practice, why I choose material, and I've kind of been attracted to this this notion of accessibility. So, and I think that's why I've always been attracted to drawing, even very early on in my career, is that it's something that's very immediate. Sometimes it utilizes very little materials, but there's a chance there for transformation. Anyway, so I've kind of been thinking about, like, you know, why am I drawing? Why am I using a Polaroid camera? Why are these things? Why am I interested in these things? And how do they relate to me in the moment?
So let's talk about that. Polaroids. Why using Polaroids? And I'd like to know more about that. Because from the Polaroids I'm looking at, and hopefully we can show some of them, you know, in the interview, or people can go to your website, which is linked here. But tell me about the process of the Polaroids, because it looks like some of them are maybe copies of other images. I'm not sure how you're taking them or what's happening there.
I think the Polaroid has always, just like drawing, has always had a significance in my curiosity very early on. Since I've been thinking about this a lot, I've been trying to kind of trace the lineage of the materials, like I was mentioning. And I think to me, the Polaroid is also very immediate and a way to capture an image. And to kind of relate that back to drawing. And for me, early on, drawing, you know, just paper and pencil or pen, and a Polaroid were, materials or tools that I could use to experiment with image making. You know, that dates back to when I was in elementary school and middle school. And I actually learned, I'm not a native English speaker, and I actually attribute drawing as a means for me to kind of learn how to speak English, you know, so a visual vocabulary became very apparent to me that it was important, and then through that was a gateway to language. So I'm noticing that I'm kind of going back to these processes and these materials to think about our current condition. You know, it's like, what images are resonating with me? How am I capturing them? and to kind of interrogate, and instead of kind of coming up with answers, I'm kind of trying to refine a line of inquiry. So with the Polaroids in particular, I have taken some images of, you know, kind of like still lifes that I've created, or these maybe missing scene situations in the home. But by chance, in some experimentation, I became more interested in capturing images on a screen. So the images that you're seeing are Polaroids of films that are kind of standing in for situations or
Oh, I see. So just to talk about this series, like the slow cancellation of the future, which looks like it has Klansmen in it and our Polaroid photographs, those are shot off like a television screen, a monitor.
That's correct, yes.
I love that, yeah. And so go on. Sorry, I interrupted you. I just wanted to be clear what the process was.
And I think that was in the pandemic. I think one of the things that I've been able to kind of catch up on is reading. You know, like a lot of us, I'm one of those people that has like a stack of books that I feel guilty about that I pass every time because I haven't gotten to them. And I think the slow cancellation of the future was, I think I read that when I was reading a Mark Fisher book. And I think he was attributing that to another writer. And around that same time, I was kind of thinking about sheltering in place in the pandemic and kind of the closing off of the world and having screens as a portal to other places. Not only like to see other people, to conduct, you know, business as usual, whether it's like catching up with family or have meetings for work, but to also kind of think about the human condition over time. So somehow, like in there, I just kind of turned the Polaroid camera towards the screen, and initially I would get the flash of the screen that would show up, and that was interesting to me too, but I was trying to kind of refine how I could capture an image of something that was already created.
And what kind of Polaroid were you using? What kind of camera and film? Because there's not too many, there's not a lot of variety available now for Polaroid, right? There's SX70 or I-Type.
Yeah, so... So one of the things that has become apparent to me is that, yeah, Polaroid has, like, different cameras, different formats, and different films. So I'm just using the most accessible Polaroid format with the films. I think it's, like, this 400 or 600 series. I wish I kind of had it handy. And it's just when you think about the Polaroids, it's the typical kind of Polaroid camera that you think of that, you know, that you bring up the top. You kind of open up the shell, you know, and it loads in the front, and then when you take the image, it's released from the camera from the front and the bottom, and there's no way to change the you know, the depth of field or anything like that. It's just a printing shoot.
But that's not an SX70. That's not the old SX70 where the whole thing like opens up and collapses into a little brick. It's a later version of those kind of plastic boxes that kind of flip open.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly. You can still find these. I think I saw these at Target, you know, and I think the film has that type of film is being redistributed. I think it before it's by the some other company, but I think Polaroid has started selling the film again. But yeah, it's like a typical kind of Polaroid camera that you would find in somebody's home, and the one that you described.
And tell me about the Shelter in Place series. That's 15 framed photographs. Those also look like they're all Polaroids, right? But they're set up in a grid. Those look like they're not shot off the screen, or are they?
Yeah, those are too. So that's from a film called El Norte, which is about a brother and sister that immigrate to the U.S. from Guatemala. And this is like in the early 80s. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I mean, a lot of my practice does reference cinematic history, and then more recent years have been more interested in kind of Latinx narratives, either by filmmakers, actors, et cetera. And this is a film that I saw when I was very young, and I decided to revisit it because, like a lot of things, I don't think I quite understood what was happening. And then I drew a lot of parallels between that film and what I was currently experiencing, et cetera. And I chose, that was like one of the first films that I kind of decided to revisit and interrogate. So a way for me to do that was like to actually capture some of the frame. This is something that I would typically do also on a computer screen. You know, when I do watch film, sometimes I capture a frame, you know, through screen capture. But I decided to kind of externalize that by using a different apparatus, like a Polaroid camera. But yeah, so for me, kind of experimenting with the Polaroid camera, I tried to get an aesthetic that didn't look like it was something being referenced from a screen, or maybe something that I had put together. And I kind of like that slippage, that you're not sure how to where to identify the scene from or the source.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's just a beautiful quality to Polaroids and something nostalgic, but there's something just sort of kind of delicious about Polaroids. And yeah, this material, it's film, right? And you're referencing film, so that really fits. Before we talk about your drawings, in some of these, in the slow cancellation of the futures, you enlarged them and made inkjet prints, right? That was, so that's a digital process, and they end up being an inkjet print that's quite big, but still has that kind of Polaroid frame on it. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's correct. So in the Shelter and Plate series, those are the actual Polaroids. And I started kind of shifting to putting those in a grouping or sharing them kind of in mass to allude to a narrative. So they don't follow the chronology of the film. You know, so I just take many, many images, and then I just try to restructure a presumed narrative or some sort of scene. But I was also interested in the scale of the Polaroid being kind of intimate, and then I wanted to do just some experiments with scale and how they would translate bigger. And I did some without the Polaroid frame, and there's something about the Polaroid frame that makes it, like a little kind of confusing. You know, so without the frame, I felt like they could just behave as an image or a picture. But with the frame, I feel that it's another framing device, and it's referencing the material, and also the close, maybe like you're looking at it closer, or it's bigger than you. So I kind of like that. I don't know if that's been fully resolved as far as like the way that I articulate it, but I do like the reference of the frame, even in the enlarged images.
And that's interesting. So. I mean, to talk about that a little more, so they do work when they're enlarged, because you're right, Polaroids have this intimacy, they're small, it's a large format process, and that's like the original. When you enlarge them, what does happen? They still work, you're still keeping in that frame within a frame, and it's, I'm asking because even visually, looking at them on a screen, which I'm seeing now from your website, they're still the size of Polaroids, you know what I mean? So what does happen when the scale goes up? It still works? It changes it? What happens?
I think you can at the same time see more detail and more ambiguity. I think with the Polaroid, because of the scale, sometimes you miss some of the blurriness, or maybe your eye kind of fills in some of the information of what the image is. And I think when you make it bigger, you're kind of confronted with some of the blurriness a little bit more, you know. And I think hopefully it's asking for, you know, so I think that when it's small, it's asking a certain set of questions. And then when it's bigger, it's asking another set of questions about the image, the origin, and the scale. So I think that's what was kind of attracted to me. And it's no longer a Polaroid, so you can't hold it in your hand or, you know, I think with the other series where I'm actually using the Polaroid itself in the grouping, they're also mounted, they're float mounted, so you can kind of see a shadow of the frame. You know, so I like that there's like this more of this materiality, but it's smaller, and then with bigger images, you see the frame, but they're also flatter. So I like that there's like a lot of contradiction in there. You know. I just like that there's more detail and less detail at the same time.
I like that. That's so interesting. And then there's also drawings that you're doing, these drawings of skulls and books, which looks kind of like a memento mori. I don't know, has a lot of associations for me. What are those about?
I like you know, referencing films or literature or certain, motifs, art historical motifs, because it already has meaning built in. And I like that you can kind of work against that, maybe work against some of the contradictions or relate it to, what's happening currently. So I kind of like playing with that. It's very meta, And one of the things that I think in the pandemic that I became aware of, you know, just like having more time to be introspective and ask more questions of myself, is that I am a child of immigrants, you know, and like a lot of immigrants, you know, this is not only relating to an immigrant experience, but people that kind of exist in different cultures, et cetera. You have your foot kind of planted in two different sites, you know. For me, my parents are Mexican, so, you know, relating to that culture. And then I'm American, to relate to this culture. And then whatever that means, you know. But I feel like I've had this very meta experience where I'm kind of questioning where I'm stepping all the time. And I like that with kind of referencing VR historical literature or film, where it's like, you know, you can reference the present and then the past and the future at the same time and interrogate all those things simultaneously. So with the drawings, I was looking at the Memento Mori motif, you know, thinking about the pandemic and a lot of the visual motifs that come with like previous pandemics too, right? And then kind of trying to reframe it to something maybe current. So there's not a lot of details, but there's references to something from the past. The headphones are there, so it's like referencing something, you know, contemporary. And there's a stack of books that kind of falls anywhere, really. But I kind of like repurposing these motifs to maybe a current narrative and then injecting that into these larger kind of narratives or histories too.
I like that. That's really interesting. So at the moment in your studio, we've gone through like three bodies of work, I guess, in a reverse chronological order. The drawings are what you're working on now. Are you also doing more Polaroids? Like, what's the future or the current process?
So in my website, it is in chronological order. You know, so you scroll down and then you get to the old stuff. But I am kind of working. I always kind of work across mediums. I think for me, my practice is rooted in drawing primarily. So that's kind of how I approach everything. But some of the attributes of drawing do translate to other mediums. But one of the things that I've tried to do during the pandemic is that sometimes having multiple kind of lines of inquiry or interest or kind of material exploration becomes very overwhelming. Or something that it's hard to kind of spend, you know, I feel like I need to give more time to something to flesh it all out before I move on to something else. And I feel like the seemingly slowness of the pandemic, you know, maybe anticipating or waiting for whatever is at the other end, and that feels like it's like still very, very far away, et cetera. I think I've tried to spend more time with a material or an idea than I typically would in the past. I like as an artist, one of the things that I've always been drawn to is that not a particular material or a process, but I like that art making gives me access to different things, whether it's ideas, people, histories. And sometimes, you know, when you have a lot of, there's so many interesting, complex things that are happening. It's like, how do you narrow those down? But I think recently I've been making a more concerted effort to spend more time with things, to kind of flesh them out a little bit more, to be more patient, to let things kind of unfold a little bit slower than me just kind of, vigorously and ambitiously try to like get through an idea to try to figure out what's at the end. Now I'm just like letting more questions arise, making more marks, letting more things kind of appear at their own pace.
And when you say making more marks and appear at their own pace, you're drawing, you're doing predominantly your drawing now.
Yes. And the reason I'm drawing more now, it's because of course I've always been able to do it everywhere, but when you do have access to a printer or like a camera or, you know, different tools for making, you know, for me, that's very exciting, kind of learning how to use another tool and manipulate it to get it to do something that, you know, that I'm envisioning. But I think through drawing allows me to slow down and like really observe the world around me. That's always been the case with drawing. So I think, you know, for me, drawing has allowed me to understand the natural physical world, the nuance of a surface, you know, concave or convex lines. And I also make parallels between that and, like, you know, ideas. It's like slowing down allows me to understand the nuances, the complexities, the different mark making per se that goes into an idea or different ideas or different views on ideas. So so drawing has allowed me to slow down and not consume as quickly, but to slow down and be more methodical and spend more time with things.
And I have one more question for you. What are you reading at the moment?
So I've been reading quite a bit. That's speaking of consuming things very quickly. I've been going between, you know, some of my different interests, but I've been reading the My Year of Relaxation and Rest by Otessa Mosfag. My Year of Rest and Relaxation, which is a work of fiction. I just discovered this art, this writer rather recently, and that particular work has been very compelling. I was just gifted a book called The Black Hole Survival Guide by it's a astrophysicist. Her name is Jana Lavin, and it's a small book, but it kind of details how we would experience a black hole physically. And it has like some really great illustrations or artworks in it. And then I also recently finished The Broken Heart of America, which is about St. Louis's place in the development of the continental United States economically and like through military. So it goes, I think it starts in the 1700s and actually touches upon like some current events and even some things currently happening in St. Louis.
Jose, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been my pleasure.
Thanks for inviting me. Really nice talking to you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.